Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
And I am Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN. And we welcome you to a Tuesday morning edition of the Sports Reporters. We skipped the day. It was a national holiday you may have heard about yesterday. We ordinarily were with you on Monday and Thursday, but this time we're with you on Tuesday. And gentlemen, long ago, a very famous entertainer of the 20th century, Jimmy Durante, had a phrase that he used to use called, "Everybody wants to get into the act." And sadly, too many American sports fans seem to want to get into the act. The NBA playoffs have been marked by a rising number of disturbing fan incidents, including a really bad one in Boston the other night when a fan threw a water bottle that was not empty, apparently, at Kyrie Irving. He has been arrested and will be charged. He's facing the judge this very morning, on Tuesday morning. And then a really curious one last night capped off the whole weekend, a whole run of this, in which a fan in Washington, D.C. tried to make it to the court, only to be met by a wonderful tackle by a security guard. Guys, I mean, we all know this. We agreed that this is crazy, but I mean, you know, where do we? How do we stop all this? Or can we?
Bob, we've contributed to this. I've always felt, and the teams have contributed it by all this 12th man stuff. Okay, that yes, you are part of the action. That somehow you not are just invested in how the home team does, but you are somehow part of the action. You know, we found all these ways to make people feel as if they are allowed to act out any way they want to. And again, one or two people, what are we talking about? Maybe a half a dozen people doesn't mean that it's an epidemic, but it's a troubling thing. And you know, people, there's all the romance about Madison Square Garden and the Mecca, and the people are back, and the crowd scenes and the sounds have been great. And in the last week, somebody threw a beer in the direction of one of their own players and spit at Trae Young. Okay, and all the league can do is not only ban them, you know, suspend them, but ban them permanently for actions like that.
Well, I say when fans are getting unruly in Salt Lake City, then you know you got a problem, because the Utah Jazz had to ban three fans indefinitely after they were apparently or reportedly screaming stuff at John Morant's family members in the stands. And, you know, it's one thing in New York or Philadelphia. It's another thing when it's out in Salt Lake City. It's gotten pretty bad. But if you think like, well, okay, this is some kind of extreme thing, or it's COVID related and people are just getting back to being in crowds and don't know how to behave, I'm sorry, I think that's just sort of re-engineering social behavior. The fact is, if you look at soccer fans around the world, you know that it can get much worse, and it will get much worse. And anybody thinking, well, you know, it's just a temporary thing because of COVID or something. No, it's not. People can behave much worse than they're behaving in the NBA. Just go take a look at soccer fans around the world. So there's not a bottom to this. And if the NBA doesn't get as harsh as it's getting, and maybe even more, I mean, like immediate action, immediate expulsion. But the fact is, guys, we've been to, between us, you know, a million games. When alcohol is involved in a lot of this stuff, it doesn't matter that fans coming in know that, hey, I might get thrown out or I might be banned forever from the thing. When people get all way too loose on beer or whatever else they're drinking, they're going to act stupid. And, you know, what's puzzling to me is, like, why all the anger all of a sudden? That's what I'm more interested in, you know, because fans have always acted stupidly. And the guy who ran on the court in Philadelphia, I don't know what he was trying to do, get noticed. But why the anger? You know, why the screaming at the families in the stands, dumping of popcorn, those kinds of things? Is there any, you have any thoughts on that?
I just think it's part of a general lack of perspective. I really do, Mitch. I just think that people have, I don't know whether it's these are again, we don't know. We'd have to sit all of these people in a room and ask them, what the hell were you thinking? Okay. But is there something in their own lives that makes them go to a sports event, which is supposed to be a happy experience, and make them this angry? You look at some of these faces of people. You look at the guy who dumped the popcorn on Russell Westbrook, and I'm thinking, how do you think you move the ball forward with that? Well, do you go home and say to your friends or your family members, you know what I did tonight? I dumped popcorn on Russell.
Yeah, maybe they do.
Well, the whole history of American sport, and at least that, as far as I can see, has involved fans yelling things that a lot of times are profane, and which you say, hey, there's kids around, there's women around. You say, why aren't you embarrassed to do this now? But people aren't, and they continue. This has been going on for literally over a century.
Bob, when the boys were little, I would say something if we were in a section and a guy was out of line. And most of the time, the rest of the people in the section would kind of back you up. And so, I mean, guys, there's a funny expression from golf. Golfers talk to themselves in a way that they'd never talk to another living person. Okay. You just beat yourself up and say hideous things to yourself. These are the hideous things being said to the athletes. And I'm not giving anybody a pass because they're just now getting back into arenas.
I
don't see how that's connected. If anything, you would think it would be the other way around.
Happier, right?
Right. Yeah, I finally get to go out. I'm not buying any of that COVID-related stuff. Think it is, Mike and Bob, is social media. I think that the world has become a place where everybody gets to say everything that they want. And a lot of these athletes do it themselves. You know, look at Kyrie Irving and the comments that he makes. And he's just one example. Look at LeBron James. He's one example. And the whole world knows when LeBron James wants to express his anger or his frustration or something, the whole world reads it. When Kyrie Irving wants to say something about racism, whatever, the whole world reads it. And so everybody feels like they're in an argument all the time. And the tweets, obviously, that get the most attention aren't the ones about, hey, great job by this local nurse who helped out a kid in a fire or something. That doesn't get any attention. It's the ones where, what the bleep is wrong with the bleep and bleeps, you know. And athletes curse on social media, and they behave badly on social media. And I think there's a sense of the fans, like, we can do this too. Only they're doing it in arenas because their voices are not going to be heard on social media.
Silver's got to step on the people doing this. I'm telling you, I don't think it's draconian at all to say you do something like that. You lash out at one of our athletes that way, you don't get to come back. I'm as serious as a toothache about that.
Well, the thing you don't want to, I'll take it to an extreme. Mike, you're a tennis person. You know, we all know the most notable example of a fan was right. Steffi Graf. Gunther Parch was the name of the perf, by the way.
Monica Seles, Bobby.
I'm sorry. I mean, Steffi Graf was the benefit. And she was the beneficiary of this. Yes, Monica Seles, stabbed by Gunther Parch. Guys, we all grew up in an era when it was kind of funny and expected, it was routine and ultimately harmless. And I grew up in the 50s. Kill the ump. It was just a stupid phrase. Once upon a time in 1940, a fan did come out of the stands in Brooklyn in Ebbets Field and attacked umpire George Majorkert at home plate. And, it has happened. Hey, guys, you mentioned Kyrie Irving. We're burying the lead here. We are burying the lead because the number one incident was, in fact, in Boston. And it was the culmination of a culmination.
Expect anything less, honestly, in Boston. When Kyrie Irving comes in and says, I hope there's no racist behavior here, you're
Bob,
basically
did he
just
not stomp on the logo?
Okay,
after
it was almost a clean getaway. The point is, everybody was, as we say, almost a clean getaway. He comes in, he makes his point on the court, 39 points, 11 rebounds, kicks the Celtics' ass. Then he has to take it. I'm not saying this is justification for what was the end result, but then he did go out and stomp on or do something, wipe his foot on the logo. This doesn't bother me in the least, by the way, but it does apparently bother some people. And made a point of it. And then on the way out, a fan, did, you know, something.
Bob, can I ask you a question? Because I don't know the answer, and you may, okay? Or maybe Mitch does. Did Kyrie Irving, when he was a Boston Celtic, ever express his concerns about Boston, Massachusetts, and systemic racism? Or did he wait until he was out of the room?
Not to my knowledge. It's all I can say, Mike. I do not remember anything about it. I stand happy to stand corrected if someone can point out to me any incident or any evidence of this, but there was no evidence. That was not part of the dialogue. The reason Kyrie Irving is viewed as reprehensible by Celtic fans is a somewhat distorted view of the fact that he lied. He said at a gathering that he was going to be a Celtic for life. He wanted to resign. Then he didn't do it. All right, so he didn't do it. All right, fine. But it's also the perception that he was a negative influence on the team that year and had a negative influence on the two young stars, Brown and Tatum. That has been written and that has been said. And that is people picking up on that, blaming him for a disappointment season that year and his negative effect, his personality negative effect, not his playing effect.
Well, we shouldn't be shocked by any of it. Kyrie Irving is an explosive personality. Boston is an explosive town. Philadelphia is an explosive town. You come in there and you make noise. You do a lot of talking beforehand, and the home team loses, and people get frustrated. And this is going to happen. I'm not condoning it in any way. Yes. It's awful. It's ridiculous. I would never go to sporting events anymore as a fan. And I certainly wouldn't go to football games. You know, we mentioned that, but have you ever seen by the third quarter of a football game what the stands sound like? You try to take a kid to a game, it's impossible. Your whole ride home will be, Daddy, what does this word mean? Daddy, what does this word mean? But, you know, I can't be surprised at it. And it's not the first time that a player's had something thrown at him, worse than water bottles, you know, batteries and things like that. And it's probably not going to be the last. And yeah, the NBA can say, as it's now saying, it will no longer tolerate anything that jeopardizes a safe and respectful environment for both spectators and players. But you can only enforce that for so much. It's always post-fact enforcing. It's after the guy throws the bottle, you kick him out. After he dumps the popcorn, you kick him out. What, are you going to take away bottles from people? You're going to not allow them to drink water? You're not going to allow them to eat popcorn? So trying to sort of cut this off at the pass before people act badly is a pretty damn difficult thing to do. And they can make a tougher policy, but let's move on to the actual game.
Can we go back to Kyrie for one second?
I'm not done with Kyrie either.
Okay, good. Before we do that, I was going to do a Geico read. I promise I was. Absolutely promise I was. We're sponsored by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Don't you think Kyrie has now gotten himself into a position where he's trying to almost put himself above any sort of criticism for anything he says or does because he constructed a narrative going back into Boston. And again, Bob, was he being vilified on the court when he was still a Boston Celtic?
Not that I recall. And there's no, we don't know. We may be hearing something from this young man that was arrested that threw the bottle. The assumption on the outside world is that, of course, you know, because of all the buildup that Kyrie set up, you know, is that this is racial. There's no evidence that it's racial. He's in dislike. First of all, any incident that happens in the NBA involving a player, the odds are it will be an African-American involved because of the heavy preponderance of African-American players in this league or other dark skinned people from other countries. Okay. They dominate the league in numbers. Okay. There's no evidence of this at all that we know of that was the reason. He has made himself a pariah here over and above the color of his skin. I promise you that's the truth.
But he's also victimized himself. He's also victimized himself.
Exactly. And he, you know, when he does talk, it's always about that. And you're right, Mike. He sets up this sort of like, I sure hope there's not going to be racism at this point. Well, then if there's any criticism, it gets to be under the banner of racism.
Yeah.
Instead of, no, people just don't like you. You know, you have a prickly personality and they don't like you. And Kyrie Irving's going to be, he's young, so he's not going anywhere. And he's talented, so he's not going anywhere. He's on a team that could very well win the NBA championship, so he may not be going
anywhere.
Book.
They're the favorites.
What's that? Yeah.
Mitch,
and
the other night, they scored, those three guys scored 104 points. Three basketball players in the same game scored 104 points.
Yep.
Well,
and that's going to be their formula for winning, you know, and you know, they better hope that nobody gets hurt because they're not a deep team.
So you're right,
bench.
Mitch. You're right. And time to talk about the actual game. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right.
How bad is Embiid hurt?
Well, first of all, we didn't even know. Doc claimed he didn't know whether it was back or his ankle, what it was, or his knee or his back yesterday. We don't know. I mean, he played 11 minutes, didn't play anymore. They almost pulled it out. They were still in the game with a minute to go. But anyway, you know, they're not going to be able to go too far without him. There's no doubt.
Oh, I don't think they're. I mean, they're going to win this series against Washington no matter what. But I don't think they'd go anywhere else if he's not playing. Do you? I mean, he's the whole backbone of that team.
Well, given that they'd have to play, you know, eventually you have to beat either or Milwaukee and the Nets. If without him, they're not doing that. No, there's no way.
No.
Okay, at full strength, Mitch, I'll ask you, Mitch, and then Bob. Okay, Mitch, at full strength, who do you think would be the toughest opponent for the Nets, the Bucks, or a healthy 76ers team?
I like the way the Bucks are playing. Now they lost DiVincenzo. Now people say, "Well, that's a big deal." No, it affects depth. It affects he's a 3-point shooter. He's a tough guy. You know that's I don't know if they have enough depth to withstand that. Maybe they do. Somebody came up really big for them the other day. But I like the way they're playing. I would put my money on them, Mike, as opposed to Philly to be the biggest threat to the Nets.
Philly had been playing really well, and you know, at full strength, I actually would have liked them, you know, because they've been playing defense as well. I don't know that anybody though stands up to the Nets at full strength. I mean, how many total games did we watch the Nets at full strength this year? 8 or something like that, you know. So we're only now really getting to see what it's like when all three of them are on the court. It is frightening, and they can just outscore you. You know, they're not going to out-defeat you. They're not going to beat you 92-88, but they're just going to outscore you. I mean, like you said, Mike, three guys can score over 92 points in a game together. So there's part of me that would love to see a Nets-Lakers final because you just want to see, okay, if this is the way the what I call the Avengerism of the NBA, where it's just how many stars can you throw into one movie? How many superheroes can you throw into one movie? That would be the ultimate, wouldn't it? The Nets against the Lakers. But let's talk a little bit about the Lakers, because this is the series now that suddenly has everybody's attention, because Anthony Davis is probably not going to play. At least that's what, if you read the tea leaves of it. And game fives are critical in these series. They're going back to Phoenix. And if they take a 3-2 lead, they just have to win one of the last two games. I think a lot of it does depend on Chris Paul's shoulder, but he managed to, you know.
He looked good. He looked good the other night, Mitch.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
I don't know if that was they gave him a shot or whatever, because I don't know how all of a sudden he could play. But if he's got that kind of confidence and Davis isn't there and Schroeder doesn't play, because Schroeder was great when they won for the two games that they've won, and he has not been great for the two games that they've lost. And I think shutting him down, I know that's you don't think about that when you have to worry about shutting LeBron James down or shutting Anthony Davis down, but shutting Schroeder down is shutting down their third faucet. And if he's shut down and then Davis isn't there, then you're playing a very old game in the NBA, LeBron versus everybody else. We've seen this. And LeBron doesn't always win those matchups. He may end up with 42 points and 17 rebounds and 12 assists, but he doesn't always win those games.
You know, you look at this series, okay, and you just look at it for 1 second from the Suns' point of view, okay? Booker really hasn't gone crazy yet. I mean, 17 points the other night, 5 for 14 shooting, and they win the game because Ayton, Bob, I may be slightly off on this, but Ayton's shooting percentage seems to be about 642. he misses a shot. What's he miss, like 2 shots a game? Yeah. And had, I'm looking at the stat sheet, 17 rebounds the other night. No, I think if Anthony Davis even plays and isn't 100%, guys, I think they're I think they're in a world of trouble.
Oh, I definitely think they are without Davis. Totally. I mean, but the one little flip side of it to me, for me, is yes, they've got Chris Paul, steadying influence, veteran, great player, but they are young, and the pressure, in a sense, I think, is on them. Because, you know, the Lakers, hey, if the Lakers don't win, I'm just saying that they're not going to look at it this way. But quite frankly, in the outside world, if the, now that Anthony Davis isn't playing, you lower your expectation level. It's on the pressure's on the Suns to get it done and take advantage of this. And if they don't win the fifth game at home, I think they're in trouble.
Oh, no. They have to win this game. They have to grab it. You kill the snake, as Bill Laimbeer used to say. You know, when you get that opportunity. And the Lakers have done this before, and they've come back from being down in series and all that. They've got all the experience in the world on this. And LeBron James is probably the most important and most effective leader of a team in the NBA. And so if anybody can sort of set a tone for a team and talk to them or whatever, it's going to be him. So they have to win game five. If they win game five, I think they, you know, have a 60% chance of winning the series. I still think the Lakers find ways to get stuff done. Now, there you can only play with so many players. If Davis is out, if Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is out, I mean, there's a point at which you don't have enough guys. But as we pointed out before, when Caruso gets going in some of these games, when Schroeder gets going in some of these games, they're not going to give you 7 games in a series, but they're going to give you one where they're going to have 24-plus points.
Well, and before we continue, this podcast is being sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I know I feel the stress of having to work remotely and everything that comes with that. I'm pretty sure you do too. Then you should know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Plus, there's a special offer for the Sports Reporter's listeners. You get 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/reporters. That's BetterHelp.com/reporters. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Remember, that's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/reporters.
Somebody better help, Bob. That's right. Somebody better help.
I like
LeBron
that.
James.
Good segue, Mike. Yeah.
Better. Yeah.
Now, you know, throw the name Kuzma in there. You know, he can do things. He could have a night. You know, he's yes. So
right.
That we're going to finally be looking at a game seven in Phoenix? Because I sort of do. I think the Lakers find a way to win one of these next two games. But I think this, I don't know, I might be wrong. This has the feel of a game seven to me.
I don't think there's any way Phoenix wins this in six. I think they only win it in seven. I do think there's a way that the Lakers win it in six. They have some kind of game and they shut them down in game
five.
They win tonight and it's just, you know, they don't have it. So, yes, I agree with you.
We're all hesitant to bet against LeBron. It's not as if, you know, the Phoenix is the greatest team in all time.
We've got to talk about the Clips for a second because not only did we throw them under the bus the last time we were together, then we backed the bus up over them and, wait a second. Here they are at 2-2. Doncic is kind of nicked up, and the Clippers. Tyronn Lue said the real Clippers will show up, and guess what? The real Clippers showed up.
Yes, they did.
What is the real Clippers? I mean, somebody's gonna have to tell me what the real Clippers are. They won. And they've won two games. And then Doncic, you know, it sounds like, having experienced this myself, it sounds like he got a pinched nerve in his neck. And I can tell you that, while that sounds fairly simple, it can affect everything. It can affect, you can't turn, you can't pass, you can't, I mean, every move you make, it's related to your spine, and it's something that just needs to be worked out. Chiropractors can fix it, and so, but it takes a little time. And, you know, if he's not who he is, and the Clippers are, and Kawhi's been playing good, and the Clippers, have some momentum, then nobody expected Dallas to win the NBA title. So beating the Dallas Mavericks shouldn't be some kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe the Clippers did it. It's just that they look so bad in their first two games, and they just didn't even look interested. So their criticism was warranted, Mike, but it only reminds us how long a seven-game series is in the NBA. They're like mini Russian novels. You can think one thing when the team goes up 2-0, and by the time you get to game seven, you've long since forgotten it. And this is just another example of that.
And the Jazz, now that they've got Donovan Mitchell back, they look an awful lot like the team that played the way it did. And the other thing that's going on, I'm a New Yorker and I've watched this thing, okay? Trae Young is a wonderful basketball player. I'm not ready to call him Steph Jr. yet, but he just plays such a creative, dynamic game of basketball. He makes threes from where Steph makes them. We now see why the Hawks have had the record they've had since Nate McMillan took over. And I'll just say this, Bob, about the Knicks. I wrote about this the other day, okay? Mm-hmm. The Knicks clearly played way over their heads during the regular season. The sum was so much greater. The whole was greater than the sum of its parts. And Bob and Mitch, I figured this out the other day. The starting lineup that they use against the Hawks, do you know how many combined teams that those five players have played for? 19, if you count the Knicks twice. Think about that. So it's like this gritty street ball team that got put together, and it's just kind of being exposed. The Hawks are fun to watch.
Mike, I stuck up big time for Randall last time out in terms of the fact that, no, he's not scoring, but he's rebounding and he's doing his thing and he's playing defense. But he just came up with another scoring, mess.
Bob, if you looked at the stat sheet after Sunday's game, you say, he played pretty well. But I'm telling you, the minute he catches the ball anywhere near the blocks, they throw a double team at him, and the Knicks just don't have any weaponry. I said this to my son Chris last night, who grew up with the Knicks, okay? You know when the Knicks last had a point guard as good and creative as Trae Young is? Walt Frazier. They just don't ever have that kind of guy, and it's been so glaring in this series.
Jeff Houston just started crying, Mike. I'm sorry. Just to hear you say that.
And, but anyway. What Trae Young has done there, we talked about this in some first rounds of playoff series, is you'll see some what is to be transcendent talent lift their team and almost win the series by themselves. And I think if Atlanta wins the series, you'll be able to characterize that as one of those series where Trae Young is coming into his own. I don't know that they'll go any further than the first round, but, just to establish yourself, it starts on the rungs of the ladder of playoff success. Ja Morant is trying to do the same thing. Utah is proving to have a little bit more firepower.
There's an interesting possibility here. If Embiid is hurt, okay, if Embiid is hurt, a Hawks-Sixers second round series might be kind of interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Embiid has been putting up boxcar numbers. I mean, there's no doubt.
And by the way, did you see Russell Westbrook's line last night, guys? 18 points, 14 assists, 21 rebounds. it's like a theme park ride. His stat sheet. Okay.
Well, their season is going to be done pretty soon. But I think without Embiid and without the defensive force that he is in the middle, Trae Young could go wild, and he could make a lot of noise in the second round too. Because those two teams would play one another. Look, I think we have to say that. And Mike, hats off to you, because you predicted this with the Lakers thing. You said, I don't think they're going to, health-wise, last through the playoffs. And it's only been a handful of games, and Anthony Davis has already got a groin injury. And as I have said many times, the groin is makes you groan.
All right, let's not get too deeply into, you know, but Dr. Album,
I don't want to get deeply into anybody's
Dr. Album is a groin specialist.
Right, groinologist. But groins don't go away until you stop playing. Okay, you need to take a couple months off for groins to really heal if you've really torn something or really damaged something. And they are nagging, and they can always get worse. And so even if Davis plays, watch out, because he could injure it even worse, as LeBron James could tell you, because it was the first thing that sort of felled him from his Superman career. Meanwhile, you've got Doncic's injury. You've got Joel Embiid's injury. You know, everyone who keeps going down here, it's sort of determining.
Donovan Mitchell just came back. Donovan Mitchell came back from an ankle injury, but and is playing the way. No, it's at this time of year. Health becomes the primary narrative of this thing. Who's out there? Who's feeling good? Who's hurt? It might bite the Lakers. And I didn't. And Mitch, you know, when we had the conversation, I didn't want to be right about it. I wanted to see the Lakers be at full strength, but I just wonder if they're going to be at full strength until next year.
All right. First, a word from our friends at Sunday. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but my lawn used to be all guesswork. I could get rid of some weeds, but what about that brown patch it left behind? And what kind of bug is that? Not anymore. Now I have a custom lawn care plan from Sunday. They started with a free lawn analysis, which was amazing. You just put in your home address, getsunday.com, and they use soil and climate data to create a tailored nutrient plan for my yard. It's really easy. The website is simple. Any of the products that you need are quick and easy to order. You do not have to be a grass jockey to understand this. All I have to do is attach the ready-and-use pouch to my garden hose and spray. And with natural ingredients like seaweed, iron, and molasses, I can grow better and feel better about it. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. You can visit getsunday.com/reporters to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom plan. All you have to do is getsunday.com/reporters. Your lawn will thank you. All right, we're talking about health. Let's switch over to the topic of mental health and a really interesting situation with Naomi Osaka, a top star in the tennis world, playing in a tennis major, the French Open, declaring early on that she did not want to talk to the media at the French Open. We talked about this on the show the other day. She just, her case was made very passionately and very emotionally. And she said, I am nervous. I get very worried when I have to talk in front of the national media. I am not by nature a public speaking person. It's affecting my mental health. She said that she had gone through some depression. And what turned out to happen is that she withdrew, because the French Open fined her and then said, by the way, we're going to continue to fine you. And every round that you play that you don't talk to the media, you're going to get fined more, and then you could be suspended, and then you could be thrown out of the tournament. And she said, rather than draw a lot of attention to myself, I'm just going to step away and not play at the French Open. This is the first time that I can recall that an aversion to the media and press conferences has resulted in a top tennis player not playing in an event. Mike, you've got more tennis knowledge in you than I do. Perhaps you can think of an example.
No,
somebody this big.
No,
at this big an event.
Mitch, I can't, and Bob, I can't remember anything quite like this ever happening before. And here's the all right. Let me just back up for a second. I'm going to try not to go on too long about this. When the four Grand Slam tournament directors issued that statement the other day, they made it quite clear that she was going to get DQ'd. Okay. If she had won a couple of rounds and continued to not go into the French Open left itself the option. I believe she was going to get DQ'd eventually if she persisted in this position, which I respect because of having read her statement. Okay. And the ironic thing about this, there's a couple of ironic things about this. One, she says that her bouts of depression began after that hideous show at the US Open with Serena in 2018. Okay. She says that it started there. But the greatest irony here The greatest irony here is the media loves Naomi Osaka. That to me is right. The ironic part of the story. They love her, okay? And they want her to be there. They want to continue to prop her up. She has been a breath of fresh air with her play. And I spoke to Mary Carrillo about this today, who's covering the French Open for NBC and Peacock, okay? And she said that statement that was issued by the Grand Slam directors the other day, it wasn't directed at Naomi Osaka. They knew they weren't going to get anywhere with her. That was directed at all the other men and women's players to say, this is a unique situation, but don't think we're going to give you guys a pass if you decide one day you don't want to go in there.
Well, that was clearly, I mean, you read that in the statement. If you saw the statement, it said, look, we just can't make a separate set of rules for one player.
Right.
And you know that if they said, all right, if you claim that it's too much stress to do a press conference afterwards, we understand you don't have to do it. At least half the field would opt out of that, I would think, especially the famous half of the field, because they can do their own communications. They can handle their own messaging on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all. They don't need the media in a crowded room.
I don't think it'd be half, Mitch. I honestly don't. Federer goes in there and speaks in four languages. I think he it's almost like performance art to him.
But Rafa, if you gave him the option of not doing
I don't think so. I think Rafa made it clear the other day that he takes that part of his responsibilities extremely seriously.
Right, but it's still a responsibility because it's a requirement.
No, but if you said you don't have to go, I'm telling you, for his brand and everything else. You may be right. I'm not even debating you on that. I don't think as many would walk away as you think.
This is a very complicated issue. I'm sorry. I mean, in terms of when you throw the D word in, depression.
Yeah.
When you throw I step back, I take a deep breath, I say, okay, I respect the concept, I respect the idea that what the effect of that is on anybody, athlete or otherwise. But her implication, okay, I put that on the side. D words are here, we have to respect it. I mean, must
yes,
respect that.
Yes.
Okay, that's a given, but let's not everybody does, Mike, but we are going to choose to respect it. But now she's got a new twist to the thing. The implication that she is implying to us that hurt her feelings by certain questioning, if I'm not mistaken. They make her feel bad. They make her question herself just by, I just lost. Well, I don't know where we draw the line about excuse, you know, that's a valid excuse.
Well, I'll tell you where you draw the line. It's a magic marker through the entire process of press coverage after games. If you say, well, you can't ask about that because somebody always loses. There's always somebody who loses a game. That's the nature of sports. And if you go and ask them about what happened and they don't like having to talk about what happened because why they lost, you draw a magic marker through that whole opportunity to talk to them. Now, I have great empathy for Naomi Osaka. I also like her very much because she's part Haitian and she's a big hero down in Haiti. But here's the other part of this. And a piece in the New York Times that I'm looking at points this out. Billie Jean King likes to say pressure is a privilege, okay? Naomi Osaka has earned $55 million last year, almost all of it from sponsorship deals. That comes from media coverage. As you point out, Mike, most of it favorable. Not just, her play is the number one thing. But if she was a terror, if she was a female John McEnroe, if she was, spitting at people or whatever, she wouldn't be making $55 million in sponsorship deals. The other thing is she doesn't do well on clay. And part of this could be tied to the fact that she doesn't have a lot of confidence.
She wasn't going to win the French Open, Mitch.
She was not going to win the French Open. She was going to have a press conference.
And guess what?
She's not going to explain.
I don't think she's going to win Wimbledon either if she plays. That's just hard courts. She looks like one of the great players. Mitch, you're right. She was not going to win the French Open on hard courts. She's one of the great players of all time. And I don't think she's going to win Wimbledon if she goes there this year.
So you don't know how much of this might have been, I don't have a lot of confidence in my tennis at Roland Garros right now, and I'm already thinking about that press conference when I have to explain why I can't have success on clay, and I don't want to go through that, and blah, blah, blah. And it all leads to this. As you say, Bob, when you throw the depression word in, then it seems like the media or the the people who rule the sport are being cruel and insensitive. And how can you not understand that people have mental health issues? But on the other hand, I don't see that they're not understanding it. They're just saying, look, these are the rules. You play by the rules the same way you don't get two hits over the net. These are the rules. If you don't want to be here, it's okay. And nobody's criticizing her. And if she pulls out, that's for her own best mental health. But there's a lot more pressure in a game of tennis when it's just you against your opponent than answering a question after the thing is over. And the fact that she could face that pressure out on the court bedevils people as to say, well, then why can't you just say no comment to a question that you don't like and move on? It's a lot easier.
And before we go any further, we're happily sponsored by Indeed. If you're the hiring expert for your company, you can be overwhelmed making a short list of quality candidates. Need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier? You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, interview, all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like Indeed Instant Match and Indeed Skills Test that on average reduce hiring time by 27%. Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/reporters. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/reporters. Indeed.com/reporters. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, everything you say is true. And Billy has defended Osaka's decision. And Martina's defended Osaka's decision. And Serena was very sweet in what she said. Here's the thing, okay? When you look at what has happened here, okay? When you look at the whole grand scheme of things and what has happened with Naomi Osaka, she's been dropping breadcrumbs about this since she was 18 years old, since she first burst on the scene. And you watch her in those press conferences and she does look nervous and she does look scared. And once she put, Bob's right, the D word, once depression was put into this conversation, that you had no choice but to defend her. And the thing is, once she made the statement that she wasn't going to go into the interview room, and I don't know what her agent and her manager and all the people who love her think, she had boxed herself into a corner at that point. Right, Mitch? Yep. She had boxed herself into a corner. And then the whole thing, then it becomes a runaway train. And the 4 tournament directors of the Grand Slams, that was a pretty aggressive statement. Would you agree to that? That was a pretty, aggressive statement.
That was
right?
A preemptive statement. I totally agree with you, Mike. It was a preemptive statement to everybody else.
Yes.
It was like, you know, whatever happens with Naomi Osaka, don't think that this is going to be the new norm at our 4 tournaments here. And, you know, they do make the rules. they are their tournament. It would have been interesting to see if she had just played and not showed up for the first press conference and then played another round and not showed up for the other one. Would the attention to this be the same? I imagine the consequences would have been the same at some point if it continued. But you're right. Making that lob at the beginning before she even got there, I'm not going to do it, put her, you know, they had to do something and it made her a target. And it's sad because she misses out on a great
opportunity. Has she not also left the implication that there are others who feel this way?
Yeah, but again, she's the face of this now. And she and her...
Rightly or wrongly, I don't know.
She and her people are going to have to decide now what her position is going to be, because Wimbledon's not going to be any more welcoming on this subject than the French Open has been. And then we bring the whole thing to New York where she says her bouts of depression. No, this is a mess. Again, take
I'll put her over the side. I give her all respect and sympathy and hope that she can work through this issues, because I think she's a charming young woman and I love watching her play tennis, and I love tennis. Okay. But when we go forward with this, they're going to have to decide whether she takes a step back now from the line that she drew in the stand and decide what she's going to do going forward.
Yeah. Well, she's young, and there's a lot of moments ahead of her to change her mind or take different directions. All right, before we get to parting shots, one more word from our friends at Geico. Hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Okay, this week's parting shots are brought to you by Sunday. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit getsunday.com/reporters to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom plan at getsunday.com/reporters. Time for those parting shots. Mike Lupica, lead us off.
Now, parting shots.
Okay, guys, here's where we are with Jacob deGrom of the Mets. He has the lowest earned run average coming out of May, 0.71, since 1964. We're also talking about a season in which he has given up just 4 earned runs as a pitcher and knocked in 3 as a hitter, where, well, he's batting a cool 450 in limited plate appearances. DeGrom isn't just the best pitcher now. He's pitching like one of the best pitchers of all time. He has won 2 Cy Young Awards already and finished 3rd last year. And he might be on his way to the Hall of Fame, even if his lifetime record for the moment is 74-53. His starts are every bit the events that Shohei Ohtani's are. Last night, he got the first 13 Diamondbacks he faced and all right, wait for it, ended up throwing 27 pitches over 100 miles per hour. See it as next start next weekend.
The Boston Red Sox are currently in Houston, Texas, for a series of Interleague Baseball. It is the first visit, therefore, of their current manager and their once before manager, Alex Cora, to the town where he acquired a certain reputation and did something that he has to own up to now, which is that participation in the famous sign-stealing trash can banging. He has handled himself with grace, as he always does. May I quote from him when he arrived yesterday? I put myself in this situation. I handled the situation the way I'm going to handle it. I'm not afraid to talk about it. It's part of who I am. It's part of my present. It was part of the past and part of my future. It's something I'm not proud of, but at the same time, I've got a job to do, and my job is to manage the Boston Red Sox and hopefully get back to the World Series. Now, not everyone is pleased, of course, about anybody that had anything to do with this at all, but I do think that if anyone is going to emerge less stained than everybody else, it will, in fact, be Alex Cora. One more thing. This meeting of the Red Sox and Astros puts together the only 2 teams in Major League Baseball, as I speak, that have had more base hits this year than strikeouts. The only 2. This is a topic we will revisit as the season goes on. I will be ranting and raving about this for a long time.
There are few places that love hockey more than Toronto, and no place that is as frustrated. Once again, the hometown Maple Leafs crashed out of the postseason, losing to the much lower regarded Montreal Canadiens in Game 7. The Leafs blew a 3-1 series lead. They lost 2 overtime games. They have now gone 17 years without winning a playoff series. They've lost 8 straight times in series clinching games and have lost winner-take-all games for the last 4 years straight. The words "not delivering in the clutch" can be emblazoned on their helmets. Worst of all, the Stanley Cup drought in Toronto now extends to 54 years. It's not like they don't have the money. It's not like they don't have the talent. It's not like they can't win in the regular season. Heck, they won their division this year. But until you do it when it counts, none of it counts. Sorry, Leaf fans. It's another long summer of what if and why. That's going to wrap it up for the Sports Reporters Podcast. My dramatic reading notwithstanding.
That was good. I like that. That was a big finish. That was very good.
We will see you on Thursdays. We do this Mondays and Thursdays. Of course, Tuesdays and Thursdays this week. If you like what you heard, leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. We always appreciate that. And tell your friends who always enjoyed the Sports Reporters on TV that they can get the podcast version on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, and Pandora, and any place they get popular podcasts. Till we see you in a few days. On behalf of Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan, I'm Mitch Albom saying have a great week.